You're listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com. This episode of the Igniting Souls Show is part of our Ignited Entrepreneur series, where we get to talk with business professionals around the world who are on fire in their entrepreneurial journey. I'm your host, Mike Domini. Joining me today is Ken Bogard. Ken founded an organization called No Honesty, and he is an EOS implementer. Ken, thanks so much for joining me, man. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, my pleasure too, Mike. Thanks so much.
Awesome. So can you kick us off and just talk to us a little bit about what you do, why you do it, and to kind of kick off the story of your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah. I think the word entrepreneur is interesting because I think I've always been or have had the essence of an entrepreneur ever since I was a young lad. And I think in grade school, it really began to take shape. And then at some point, I really stepped into trying to find a way to monetize different ideas that I had, and I could never quite figure it out. So I had all these crazy ideas, from trying to be a movie critic, couldn't figure out how to monetize it,
okay,
to starting a radio station, but on the internet, but couldn't figure out how to monetize it, to starting a shirt company, but it really wasn't my passion. And I couldn't really monetize it as much as I wanted to. And so I had all these different things at a young age that I tried doing. And eventually I'm like, okay, it's not going to work out. And so I just went into the corporate force and just began working and building management experience and leading others. And a little bit of the journey that I can give you leading up to what I'm doing now is I used to work for an executive coaching diversity inclusion firm out of Chicago. So I lived in Chicago for a period of time, and I learned so much about the entrepreneurial mind in that role. And then I went on to help Darden Restaurants, if you're familiar with Darden Restaurants, where I'd go to the worst underperforming restaurants in the area, help out. I had a handful of magic bullets that I used. Fix one up, move on to the next, fix one up, move on to the next. And then I met an entrepreneur in town, in my hometown, who said, Ken, I need help with my business. I don't care what you do or what your title is. I need help. And I really wanted to work with this individual. And so he joined forces, and he was really struggling to get his business exactly where he wanted it. And for whatever reason, I just really connected with him and wanted so badly to help him. And I got into his books in the fourth quarter of that year. He was losing, you know, 15 grand that year. No big deal, because you can show a loss but still have a cash flow coming in, right? Well, the next year we dropped $300,000 to the bottom line. That's the most he had seen in 18 years. Mm-hmm. And then we dropped nearly $1 million to the bottom line. So quite the experience. And needless to say, we're great friends today.
Wow.
And so just a cool experience of helping out an entrepreneur who took a risk, you know, in the industry that he's at, to try to grow something, but he couldn't quite get what he wanted. And I think we got him to a place where he's actually achieving what he wants. And so I did it for another company. I said, enough is enough. I'm going to do this full time for multiple companies using the structure that is known as EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And now I work with nearly 30 companies full time. And that's what I do.
Wow. Do you have a niche? Like you said, you kind of started off with helping restaurants kind of whip their business into shape. Have you diversified much, or do you have a niche that you prefer or work with?
That's an interesting question. I wish I had an interesting answer. I mean, it's all over the place, from a logistics company to a restaurant to a professional. It's all over the place, Mike. Oh, yeah. And I don't think I have a preference, because I think what I'm drawn to is just the human struggle in the room. When we get into that session room, and just to watch individuals try to create something that gives them what they want, but it doesn't. It happens time and time again. I don't think it matters the business, but that's what I'm drawn to. And I love working on or with are those kind of people, you know, good human beings after something great, and they can't quite get it. EOS is perfect for helping them get that, and I help implement that, facilitate the issues in the room.
Yeah, awesome. Because, I mean, regardless of what kind of industry you work in, the every entrepreneur has in common the fact that they are a human that has similar struggles in business. You've got struggles with clients. You've got struggles with organizational structure and with team members. And regardless of the industry, those are going to be struggles. And you can really kind of take that approach as from the outside and kind of get into the weeds, so to speak, of what they're going through, regardless of where they work.
That's right. Good. The pains, Mike, the pains and pleasures are remarkably similar. You know,
what would you say are some of the themes then? What have you seen in the organizations you've worked with, the CEOs you've worked with? What are some of the pleasures and pains of the entrepreneurial life that you've seen in common?
So it's good. Not getting what you want is probably number one for the business owner. It's just all right. They just, and I think that's okay. And I think to actually have to never achieve exactly what you want always is okay, because that is a driving force for these entrepreneurs, right? If you had what you want, you can become complacent. But that is certainly a common thread amongst a lot of the business owners and entrepreneurs that I work with. I think the other challenge and the pain is a lot of them have been carrying their business on their own shoulders, and they kind of feel like that's the way it needs to be. Like, this is my baby, my business. I'm the only one that could possibly care about it at the depth they do. And then what happens is they try to do everything, but they can't. And so then they're stuck. They're constantly not getting what they want. They're trapped in the weeds of things. And so they can't rise above, essentially. And then they have a challenge of trying to create a team. And so I think they begin to realize, well, a team could really help me, but then they still don't give it back to the team or build a team around them that can help carry their organization to where they want it to go. And so they really struggle with delegating and then elevating to their unique abilities. And some entrepreneurs are so selfless that they try to carry all the crap themselves too, when I think they need to delegate that away, because they're slowly building an organization that they don't want even more. And so if you take a risk and you put your life and your financials on the line, I think you should help and try really hard to design an organization that helps you get what you want. You're the one that took the risk. And I think employees of those organizations should realize the psychological turmoil that it takes for an entrepreneur to carry the weight of that risk. And I think sometimes that gap isn't always filled, and it needs to be, because I don't think we understand each other. And so it's kind of like, I forget the story, Mike, and I want to quote it so badly, but I can't remember who said it. But said best is the story of this entrepreneur. I think we envision entrepreneurs and they're riding on this lion, right? Mm-hmm. This is not my story. It's somebody else's. I can't think of the name.
All right.
But anyways, this individual is riding on a lion into the sunset. And we're like, wow, this entrepreneur is so awesome. Has all these employees, has this incredible business. They're riding on a lion into the sunset. And then in the meantime, that entrepreneur is looking down at that lion thinking, holy crap, this thing could turn around and eat me at any moment. You know, and I think that's what's going on in the head of an entrepreneur, certainly is for me many times. And I think if other people understood that, I think we would approach how we think about an entrepreneur a little bit differently.
I love what you mentioned there about the entrepreneur, really a selfless entrepreneur, an entrepreneur who wants to care for their people, and be selfless and humble in their leadership, will often take on so much that they don't want, you know, that is difficult for them, takes up a lot of energy for them, a lot of negative energy, right. Just so that they, you know, they're caring for their people, so their people don't have to deal with that. And it's a selfless thing, but it's a self-destructive thing. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's not what's best for the people. That's not what's best for the organization. And so you would say that for, you know, for everything that is a real drudgery for the CEO, for the entrepreneur, everything that comes difficultly to them, you would say that there is someone that you could add to your team who that task, that work would not be a drudgery for. They might actually enjoy that. They might actually get filled up by that. And it's a matter of finding those team members who can share the load so that you can focus on exactly what it is that you want to focus on, because that is then what can free you up and the organization up to really operate on all cylinders. That's a fantastic reminder, I think, for entrepreneurs who want to be selfless, who want to be humble leaders, servant leaders. Yeah. That does not mean carrying all the crap that goes on in the business.
Yeah. I'll share one small example so we can really relate it to a potential listener out there. I can't stand doing QuickBooks stuff. I just can't, right? To me, that's the crap I don't want to carry. But I think some people will or feel like they have to when it's just not the truth. When there's another human being out in this world who would love to do QuickBooks full time or always be in it, I think we forget other people like doing things that maybe we don't. It's okay. Let's put our energy into seeking out those individuals and then watch how we can create a rounded team that's enjoying doing the things that they love doing and they want to do. And I think there's a lot of value and power in that.
That's a great example, a relevant example. Very funny that you mentioned that, Ken, because literally just before you and I connected here to chat, literally within 5 minutes before we started chatting, my wife, who's an entrepreneur, she popped her head in and she said, oh, I just got off a meeting with someone from QuickBooks and I realized I need someone to do QuickBooks.
Yes.
There's too much. It does so much. There's too much to know, too much to do. And I cannot do that. So that is hopefully she can find someone to take that for her.
Life is too improbable to be coincidence, Mike. It's stars have aligned, man.
All right. Well, I apparently need to sign off here and then go get to work. No, that's so funny. That's great. A good relevant example. I know that is for many entrepreneurs, one of the first realizations you have of like, oh no, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a bookkeeper. I don't know QuickBooks. And the perfect example, hey, start finding the who can do that for you now and develop those habits early. That's good. Ken, when have you had to kind of swallow your own medicine and practice what you preach? Because you're an entrepreneur as well as you have this business and you help coach other organizations to operate well. When has been a time that you have realized like, oh man, I'm stuck here. I'm kind of at a plateau or I'm hitting a ceiling. I need to kind of, you know, do some of these principles myself to reach a new level here.
Yeah, it's interesting because it just happens all the time, you know.
Almost every day, you know.
It really is. And there's these big moments in life that we've had, right? Certainly I've had where, I mentioned to you the critic thing or the radio on the internet thing or the shirt company. I mean, those are all times that I had to quit on it. And the realization to, be honest with myself, is this what I want to do? Is this viable? And to really seek that answer. And then to approach things how I have now, a similar approach to different things as well. Is this viable? Is this what I want? And then not only figuring that out for myself, but for my assistant and our conference room assistant and our writer and our marketer, and are they doing the things that they want to do? And so there's a point where I've figured out pretty well, I think. Now I got to help the people that are working with me to figure it out as well. And so practicing what I preach on a daily basis, I think,
Does Ken Bogard have a Ken Bogard? Do you have someone who can kind of take a look at what you're doing and be a truth teller in your life or give some guidance? You have a mentor, even someone like that?
It's interesting you mentioned mentor too, because you get asked that a lot. Do you have a mentor? I don't really have a mentor. I don't have per se one person. Although I'm beginning to look at my assistant in a different way. And so my assistant is an in-person assistant. Her name is Grace. She's been with me for 3 years. She She has evolved and graduated and built herself into this incredible woman that can accomplish so much. And she's really teaching me in many ways. And we've created such a strong, important relationship where anything goes, that we can talk about anything. And I think having that in my life, an outlet that I could rely on a regular basis, and I'm willing to bet vice versa for her, in a way is a mentor to me, or helps show blind spots that I might have. But we've developed such an honest relationship where I think we know what we're going to get from each other. And I think that pushes me and challenges me. And so I might even be willing to say Grace is my mentor in many ways, or at least that confidant in my life that opens up different doors of how we look at what we're doing.
That's a really interesting answer. Was not expecting to go there, but that's a fascinating thing to realize that, I think for a lot of people, who hire an assistant, you can kind of put them in a box of like, well, they're my assistant, right? They just do the tasks I don't like to do. But there may be some assistants who just, you know, like to, you know, answer the phones and keep a calendar, and that's what they enjoy and they're what they're best at. And that's great. But, you could also find a lot more value in an assistant, or even hire an assistant for more a strategic role to really act as that sounding board that who maybe shares a bit of your entrepreneurial spirit, who can kind of catch a vision, right? Or maybe even propose a vision, right? And run with it. So it's maximizing your team members for sure. So that's really good. That's great. I'm glad you have a Grace in your life to be able to.
You can't have her, Mike. I've threatened every one of my clients. They cannot have Grace.
Awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
So Ken, what about a time you said that earlier, you ended up having to just quit some of those earlier endeavors of t-shirts and movie critic. Lately, now that you've really found your stride, are there times where you still feel like, oh man, like, I don't know if quitting is too strong a word, but just times where you feel like, man, there's so much else I could be doing that kind of is tempting to maybe pivot in another direction, or do you experience that?
Yeah, not quitting. So I found, Mike, I found what I love doing. Like, I found my spot. You know, I've dated enough experiences, entrepreneurial experiences, enough to know I've landed in the spot that I need to land in. And right, and this is that work of implementing EOS into other organizations. And so I've been doing that for a number of years now. Quitting maybe early on when you first realize, okay, here's what I'm really getting into. There's a couple moments like that.
Feel over your head a little bit.
But man, once you find really what you're passionate about, you know, it's viable, it's financially stable, you're helping, you're doing what you've intended to do. Quitting is not something that comes to mind. It really hasn't. Now, what comes to mind is how do I help more or give more? Or how, instead of helping 31 companies, how can I help 31,000 companies? Or instead of helping 2,000 individuals, how can I help 2 million? And so I have things in the works that I'm intending on releasing at some point. And so I think it's more of an outlet for other things. But quit's not on the mind at this point, Mike. It was, but not at this point.
I like the dating analogy there, that metaphor of, you know, you date different experiences. I like how you said that, and you end up realizing what you like, what you don't, what really kind of excites you, and what is just kind of drudgery, and then you craft your life in that way to realize, all right, no, this is what I really do love, and this is what I'm committed to, and quitting isn't an option. That's good.
Right. Good.
So Ken, we're Igniting Souls Publishing Agency.
Yeah.
We love books. We love authors. We love our aces, our authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers, and love helping people build businesses around their book, a whole platform from their message. And you and I were chatting a little bit earlier. You said you don't have a book published currently, but you're in process, and I know different people, different authors in process, you know, are able to say or not say different levels of information based on where they're at. But I am excited about the fact that you're in process of writing a book. I'll start with this. How has the process of writing a book changed you personally?
Yeah, well, good question. You're squeezing this one out of me, Mike, because I didn't really want to talk about this at first. And so, you know, this is probably one of the first times I'm talking about it more openly.
Ooh, exclusive interview here.
Folks. Oh, that's great. Yeah, put that in the title. I think what is it taught about myself? I'm not great at putting my thoughts down on paper. It's very tactical, but I'm not great at that. I can navigate a room and have incredible breakthroughs with individuals and have some killer conversations with somebody. But when it comes down to expressing that in text form on pages, it doesn't come out with the same magic. Mm-hmm. And what I'm really seeking to do with this book that will end up coming out at some point is I need that magic to be in text form. This is not my gift.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, I've partnered with an individual who's going to help me with that. And I believe she's got that. So she'll help me out. Grace? With this. What's that? No, it's not.
Is it Grace? Okay.
No, all right. But she's certainly poking.
Okay.
So I think, you know, I think it's taught me what I'm good at and what I'm not. And in terms of the content, the content's all there, man. I can't wait to give it to the world because I think it's breakthrough stuff. It's just trying to make it magical on text. And so that's really what I'm seeking. I'm going to be neurotic about it being magical in text form.
Yeah.
And then, so after we get through this first phase, it's interesting. I'm talking to a publishing organization, right? Wink, wink.
Yeah.
There's something in that. So yeah, it's taught me a few things.
Oh, that's great. I like how you are really, I mean, going back to practicing what you preach, you know, like when there's a task that you like, that's not what I'm most skilled at. It's not what fills me up, you know, crafting words the way that you see them in your head, to be able to recognize, all right, there's someone else I can partner with. There's someone else who can share this responsibility, and it's way in their wheelhouse and not mine. And what a great way to live that out yourself.
It's a breath of fresh air, Mike. Because I couldn't find it for a long time. I was interviewing probably 15 different people, and I couldn't find that other half or that person to take it on and do it the right way. And then when I found her, I'm like, this is it. This is who I need.
Awesome.
And it's the shoulders go down, the stress begins to relieve itself, you know? And so I think every entrepreneur needs that, you know, in many different forms too, but yeah.
I love that. Well, I'm glad we're excited about that. I would love to hear more about that as you're able to reveal. I will ask you, one more question here with our last couple minutes. If you were to kind of condense your wisdom and your advice for an entrepreneur, as if to describe an essential trait of an entrepreneur in one word, maybe it's even the kind of the focus of your book. I don't know if you want to go there, but if you were to boil everything down to really one word that's an essential trait that you think is most important for entrepreneurs, what would that word be?
As much as I'd love to tie it to my practice's name,
all right,
in all honesty, I can't. The one word that an entrepreneur ought to have as a trait, bar none, top of the top, is grit.
Grit.
That is the word. It is.
That's a powerful word. Grit.
If I look back at my past, if I look back at some of those past things I try to get going, Mike, I think that had I had the grit for those things, I could have monetized them or made them financially viable. I think at that time and for those passions, I was lacking grit. And if you don't have that, giving up is easy. It's the easier path. It's the lazy path. But if you have true grit, I mean, you're not going to. You're going to fight. You're going to kick, claw, scratch. You'll do whatever it takes to make what you want a reality. And I think that's so important, and especially coming from the leader, entrepreneur in the room. They have to have that. Because if they're the ones that give up, nobody else is going to rise this company up for them.
Mm.
You know, that's a trait that they have to maintain. And I think in a way, because I care about that word so much, and I use that myself in the session room a lot, I have a way of attracting these gritty entrepreneurs. I look at my clientele, you'd meet them and you're like, okay, I see what Ken's attracting here, but they're all gritty types. And it's great to be surrounded with that, because I think it's important. You know, the world needs gritty entrepreneurs.
I love it. That grit that comes from the passion, right? Knowing what you're passionate about and just the commitment to stick with it. And it's just that stickiness that you need that as a trait as an entrepreneur. That's a good word, man. Appreciate that you sharing that.
Yeah,
well, Ken, this has been awesome. A fantastic conversation. I've appreciated the wisdom that you've dropped. It's always fascinating to hear from someone in the EOS world about not just your own journey, but the kind of what you've seen as you've gone about your work. And that's thanks for sharing so much of that insight with us here on this episode, man.
Hey, a pleasure. Mike, you're a natural. Thanks for making a comfortable experience for me too. You're fun to talk to. So keep up the good work yourself.
I appreciate you, man. That's fantastic. Thanks so much for that. And look forward to maybe having you back on the show sometime when there's more to share about your book, when you got some clarity there and we're able, it's time to really to blow that thing up. Let's do it.
Will do, Mike. All right. Fantastic. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks so much, man. This has been another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneur Series. Many thanks to our special guest today, Ken Bogard. This is Mike Dominey, and I'll see you next time. Stay ignited. Thanks for listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.